Welcome to Straight from the Muzzle, folks, where we are anything but straight. My name is Space.
And I'm Bean.
And we welcome you guys to do today's show. Still have not been able to figure out how to say that correctly without sputtering. Whatever.
Sputtering.
Sputtering.
You'll get it.
One day I'll get it, yeah.
Oh, man.
Today's topic is about fursonas. Everything that encapsulates a fursona, how you build it, how you create it, how it represents you, everything fursona. Now, we've done shows like this in the past on YouTube where we were displaying like different fursonas. And this kind of you're going to have to like use your imagination, but that's kind of like the best part is kind of imagining the characters. Maybe I'll describe my character, and I can guarantee you that besides Bean, who knows what my character looks like, I can guarantee that every person that listens to this who has not seen my character will imagine it differently. And that's the magical part about using your imagination. And I didn't just steal that from Barney. It is true.
Okay. I mean, fursonas are like the staple of being a furry. I don't think I've ever met a furry without a fursona. And if they don't, then typically it's because they're new and they end up making one pretty quickly. So it's I don't know. It's interesting.
I've seen it like when new people enter the fandom or they enter a group and they're not sure yet what they want to be. And they're kind of just, you know, exploring, kind of seeing what everyone else does. Typically, I feel they pick like one of the top two to kind of go with. They're like your generic Pokemon starters. But eventually they kind of get their ground and like in time they actually create something that is truly them. But for the most part, I feel like they all pick like foxes, huskies, or some sort of cat.
Yeah. And there's right nothing wrong with that. It gives you an easy, familiar animal to fill in. You know, when you're new and you're not used to creating characters and whatnot, that's like the easiest thing. Like, what was your first animal that you picked? Was it a canine? I bet you it was.
It was. It was actually a husky.
Mine was a wolf. So hey,
it was a husky wolf, is what it was. So I guess it's one and the same because they're pretty much from the same family.
Yeah.
But it was. He was a space husky, and so he was cybernetic. It was kind of cool. But this is like the first thing I initially picked, and then eventually I kind of grew it into something else. I grew it into what he is today, which is completely opposite from what he started at. He started as a husky, slowly became a hybrid, and then that hybrid turned into like a specific species of
You're like an anamorph species. Book.
Yeah. Pretty much. And now I'm that one thing. So if you like you look at my character now and you look at it what it was before, you're just like, how did you and we'll explain it later how we've done that, but we have a couple of different things to kind of cover as far as fursonas go. There are, you know, types of fursonas, fads.
Oh, there are so many types of fursonas.
What fursonas can do for you in the fandom, both in and out of the fandom. A lot of different ways that fursonas kind of like are the number one thing you kind of go for when you hit the fandom, because it is basically your representation in the fandom, essentially. So
yeah,
it's kind of like your avatar, like on Facebook or anywhere else. Your representation.
Yeah, fursona is literally a play on words of persona. So
yeah, it's just a furry version of it. I'm blowing out a candle because it's running out of wax. There we go.
Okay.
We're good now. My mic now smells like, what is the flavor on here? Vanilla Bean Noel from Bath and Body Works. This is not sponsored. Neither, and it never will be. So should we start off with types of fursonas?
Yeah, I think so, because that's, I don't know, it just seems like the right place to start.
It kind of does. I mean, it's like creating a fursona is like your rite of passage into the furry fandom. Everyone creates one, and how you do it is depending on your influence. I honestly cannot say 100% there is an actual fursona that is 100% original from not being inspired by something they've seen in the fandom. It just doesn't exist. It's impossible.
Yeah. I mean, and inspiration is important, you know. Like we said earlier, most people start with like a cat or a dog or a fox, and then eventually they morph it into their own like individual character that seems to be a bit more fitting to them. And that can be influenced by other people's personas as well.
Ooh, thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm also beautiful. Pulling up our emails that we've gotten in from a few people kind of out their personas too. We'll pull those up later. all right, so representation of who you are, or a representation of you as you are. Kind of explain that.
Yeah, so we have, let's see, about maybe 6 types of personas I could find in my brain hole. And one of the first ones I could think of is your persona just being a representation of you, just as you. No real like changes to personality or appearance besides the fact that you're an animal. But so like if you're a short person with glasses and you're anxious, you might draw like, I don't know, a mouse persona that's short with glasses and has your same hair or whatever, you know, something like that. So it's just your persona is you just as an animal. That's one type of persona that I've seen.
What about a persona of someone who's shy? And is that all emotions? Is that still playing to the first one?
I mean, it could be twisted into anything. So the second one, let's say if it's a representation of what you would like to be, let's take the same person who is shy, short, and wears glasses. If this person wants to be tall, muscular, and confident, then maybe their persona could be a werewolf that is just like really strong and confident and has like a chain collar or whatever. So that person in real life might not look like that, but if they want to be something they're not, then their persona might reflect that instead of who they actually are in real life.
What about the next one? There's different ways we can take this.
The next type of persona is a representation of you, but personified. So just the definition of a character in general, not even just a persona, just a character. Characters in cartoons and artwork tend to be personified a lot. Because if they weren't, then the shows wouldn't be as funny or as entertaining. So if you want a persona that fits that cartoon aspect a lot more, then you might make your persona still you, but extremely personified. So let's say, I don't know, you're just a dude that likes to go to the gym and cook. This is a weird combination, but let's say you're that. You might be like an extremely outlandishly buff coyote that wears an apron to the gym and lifts hams. You know, I don't know. It's you, but personified to the extreme.
Also, something to kind of keep in mind too, a representation of you, but personified. I bet something you probably have not thought of. I think of it every time I see it because I've noticed it. Every Disney movie that's made, every animation that's made, the person that plays that animation, parts of their face and personality are put into that character. So if you were to do a side-by-side of the person who plays that character, you could easily point out traits of them. Be like, oh, their eyes, and oh, I could totally see that, like their facial structure. Crazy how that works, but it's kind of cool to think about it at the same time.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, you're right when I think about it.
Think of like Eddie Murphy, and then think of the donkey from Shrek. Boom.
Yeah.
Pretty self-explanatory right there. So it's actually like
I love Shrek.
It's such a good movie. The second one was the best, I think. Never watched the third one. All right.
And some people might want like all three of these things, but they don't feel comfortable mixing them up anyway. So some people actually have separate personas, like different ones, that can represent different parts of you separately. So like if you're confident but you like to play video games, and you also, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a bunch of random things, but some people will have different personas, like this persona represents my confidence, and this persona represents my intelligence, and this persona represents my love for reading, I don't know, something like that. So let's say someone has 3 or 4 personas, all of them represent aspects of that person, but they're not combined.
Right. They're just like, like some people don't want to have all in one. Some people want to have a variety.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing. It just shows different parts of you that others don't necessarily get to see. And it's kind of neat. Let's see. There are a representation of our interests.
This one I've seen, I don't see it as often, but when I do, it's really interesting. If someone has a hyper interest or like an obsession with something, sometimes their persona will literally be a personification of the interests more so than of the person themselves. So, like, I've seen this a lot when people have personas that are animals that are from actual shows, like Pokemon, for example. That's kind of a personification of your interest. So it can still represent you, but it's also a piece of your interest. Or if you really like technology or video games, I've seen some people have a cyber character that's like super steampunk. Just things like that. Can you think of any other examples?
Well, so, okay. So it's not my current character anymore, but at one point in time, my hybrid did represent my online appearance, as I had the on symbol and then I had the USB because I was always connected everywhere. So there was something like that. And that was just me because I was always online doing, you know, social media like crazy. That was me. That was me kind of like projecting my interests, but onto my fursona. As you could see, no one really ever asked about the on symbol. I always had to explain it, and I just eventually got rid of it because no one really got it.
So, and now you see it everywhere.
And now I see it everywhere. Well, I've seen a lot of fursuits who like that have like the on symbol on it, and I'm like, I'm so glad I don't do that anymore. it's
another
overdone.
Oh man, another type of fursona I've seen that goes with the interests is like, I call them walking billboards, but if somebody is so obsessed or extremely like interested in a specific food or a specific video game, so like for example soda roos, it's a representation of your interest in a soda. Or like I remember Monster Roo. It was literally a green and black kangaroo with a Monster logo on the back. I'm like, you're a walking billboard.
What about mango
for that product?
But mango for eyes, it's kind of cool.
yeah and like, and there's nothing wrong with that, that's, but it's still considered one. Can be like a personification of your interest if you're just super into that drink. I want my dog to be part Coca-Cola.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It's actually really
there's
cool.
Nothing wrong with it. No, it's just a personification of one of your interests.
In fact, there is an artist out, there's several that do it, but there was one that kind of started out doing it where they would actually take your fursona and incorporate it into your favorite drink of choice. And they would make art based off of that. I thought that was so cool. I can't remember who it is. There's one person that originally did it, and then everyone kind of just got on the bandwagon and started doing it. And then it's just, you know, there you go.
Yeah.
And it lost its fun. I still have.
A lot of these can also just be applied to original characters and not necessarily personas. And you know the difference between that, right?
What?
An original character and a persona, they're two different things.
No, I've always considered them one and the same.
No, they're two different things. So an original character is just a character that you made up and like that you draw a lot, or it's in a story of yours, while a fursona is something that represents you. So for example, I have a character. Like, it can be both, but typically both. If it's...
So suck it.
You can have both, yeah. But if it... Like an OC can be a fursona. Or wait, no. An OC can't be a fursona, but a fursona can be an OC.
Okay.
It's kind of like a square and a rectangle situation.
I suppose, I guess in the time that we're in now, Space Dog Spiff would be an original character because he's no longer my fursona.
Yes.
Okay, there we go. That works.
Exactly. So like Rory and Bean are my fursonas, but my other character, Crick, is not a fursona. He's just an original character.
That's a cool character too. You make some pretty cool characters. But I like the style that you do, because your style is more realistic to the way the person feels or to the way the person is. And I kind of like that. It's just a different way of doing it. which we'll talk about in a little bit.
And then, of course, you can mix all of these types up. There is no rules. Like, we may be listing off types of personas, but there can be an infinite amount of types. These are just the ones I could pick out of my brain. You can mix them up in any way or form, and it can still be valid as a persona.
I think I can identify with four. Well, I guess the sixth one would be a mixture of four. My current persona would be a representation of who I am, who I want to mm-hmm. be. It's personified of me, and it also represents multiple interests that I have in this world. You just don't, like, I incorporate them into the art or into other things, but it's not like a separate part of space. It's part of space. So,
oh yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you could have all six if you really want to, or you could have one. There's no right or wrong on this one.
Yeah, there's absolutely no right or wrong.
Really no right or wrong on any fursona creation.
No, there's not. You can't boss people around on their fursonas.
There are those out there who think they can boss people around, but just remember.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some people are like, you can't have a fox fursona. That's too cliche. And I say, shut the fuck up. Let people draw what they want.
And the crazy thing, too, is like, I know some people that really like fursona, or like a fursuit character or fursona, and they draw inspiration from it, but then that one person will get so offended because your design is too similar to their design, and then it, all hell breaks loose, and then you got like trolls, and it's just like, good Lord, can't people just be inspired by something? That should be an honor. Like, I would be honored if someone stole my fursona and then did something with it. Oh my gosh. Please, I want to see it. Like, you know, that would be, that's like the,
I don't know about that one, Chief.
Oh, come on, think about it. It's like the highest honor. If I saw some sort of like,
Some people see it that way, but others don't.
I find it as like a form of flattery. It's like, you're so low that you have to copy something. I feel
wow.
So good that I've done better than you.
There's two sides to that one. Like, if somebody draws inspiration but it's still obviously a second, like a separate character, then, you know, getting on your high horse and trying to boss somebody around when it's not like a carbon copy, or if it's not too similar, then it's like, you can't copyright an aesthetic, for example, or you can't copyright a color palette. Like, I've seen people get angry. It's like, your fursona is a purple and white husky, you're stealing my fursona. And I'm like, okay, first of all, honey, you can't copyright the color palette of purple and white. If you have no unique markings and you're just have normal husky markings, then I'm sorry, you can't argue with people if they also have a purple and white husky. But if you have a purple and white husky with, like, I don't know, rainbow toes, and somebody else does that too, then I can kind of see that. Where you'd get angry.
But at the same time, there could be tons of different fursonas out there with rainbow toes. You can't copyright that. Except there is only one person that has successfully copyrighted a first. Well, it's, I don't even know if it's a fursona. Is it considered a character?
What are you talking about?
Dutch Angel Dragons?
That's a species. It's a closed species. Okay. No, it's an open species. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. It's open, because if it was closed, it wouldn't be up to the public. That one actually has copyrights to it. I'm not quite sure as to what, but I'm not going to go into details. You can go Google it yourself. It's just that whole community is something else. I'll just say that.
So while we're on that topic, let's talk about some fursona fads.
Yeah, there are tons of them out there. Tons.
Oh my goodness. I remember in the early 2000s, two really popular things to do with a fursona were sparkle dogs, which most people should know what those are. They're basically canine characters that are just so outlandishly colored. Like, my fursona has 10 different colors on it and 15 markings that you have to get exactly right. And it has four sets of wings and like that kind of thing. That's why they're called sparkle dogs, because they're so intense.
Those are the people you give participation awards to.
And then these can go hand in hand with sparkle dogs, but also edgy characters. Sparkle dogs tend to be edgy, but edgy characters don't tend to be sparkle dogs.
My god,
like, my original fursona was edgy as crap. Like, she had emo hair, yes, and trip pants, yes. engages and liked to rave, like that
toxic
kind of thing.
Colors, bright colors,
yeah,
light raver, like just totally. And then colors that just don't go together at all in designs. It's just you know, I'm totally gothic. And then of course, you know, you find out on the other end it's just some like really bubbly girl. It's like, what is wrong with you? Just, you get some of those, I don't even know if it's really edgy characters, they're just like I would say edgy / cringe characters.
Edgy on purpose. Yeah,
it's just
I mean, there's nothing wrong with having edgy characters if you like them. It's just, it is a fad that I observed early in the furry fandom, and I think it is still a fad with younger furries particularly. Like typically when I see like an 11 or 12 year old furry on the internet, like they're like, oh yeah, my fursona's named Demon Wolf 85 and it's a red and black wolf with highlights in their hair, and like it's like something like that.
Well, you have to also think of too, like when you think of this, like if you're a younger furry, your imagination is there, but your like capacity to think of additional things isn't all there. And so
like color theory,
it's kind of like between that age of like 11 to 15 or 16 is what I call the rebellion stage. So that's where you get most of your characters. That's,
everybody gets
every
that.
Once in a while you'll get some of those people that are, you know, they're like 13 year olds and they have it and you're just like,
oh, I know I did.
My God, this person is amazing. They're mature, but they have it. Like, that is amazing. You still, and if I find people like that, I'm just like, oh, yes. You're going to be a...
Oh, yeah. I've seen adults with edgy characters, and I'm just like, that's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. It's you.
You do what you want, but it's not my thing.
You do you. Well, it's almost like, it's like when I don't shun fursuits whatsoever. If you've made your own fursuit, you know it's not easy to do. And I've seen some like really outlandish ones. I've seen some homemaker, not so great looking ones. But I'm not going to go to that person and say, you have a sucky fursuit. I've seen people bully it and I think it's unnecessary. But, you know, you do you. If that works for you, it works for you. If your fursona is to be edgy at that time, awesome. Rock it.
It's meant to be. Rock
exactly.
It.
There's also like besides, because I know there's a few others out there, but you gotta also admit there's like the customizable ones. You got like the ones that have wheels. It's a bunch of wheelie furries that put wheels. They put
what?
Yeah. So Dory started it.
Oh, like train furries and stuff.
Dory started it putting wheels in your fursuit paws, and then
Heelys.
And then people started doing, you know, like going along with the Sparkle Dogs. Now you have people with the technology that we have now. I would say a good handful of furries and fursonas out there and fursuiters have some sort of LED tech in it.
Yeah, that's common.
Yeah. So you have like the LED. You have the people that build speakers into their fursuits, which I don't really get because it doesn't sound that great, to be honest.
I get it for... performance, like Beauty of the Beast does a great job with the performance of it because they also talk through
it. Only person that can pull that off. There are some really cool like rad fursuits, which that is a totally different topic that almost requires more of a visual aid because there are some rad ones out there, like animatronic rad.
Oh gosh, yeah,
so good. And then you have your popular species. You have your huskies and your foxes. Those have been like the staple of starter fursonas. Mm-hmm. So like, and they range. You have like gray fox, red fox, black fox, white fox. Like Felix, my husband, he's a gray fox. It's just very standard. He has a couple of markings, but they're not too like. I've actually gotten a few people mixed up. I've seen a couple of like fursonas, and I'm like, "That's you!" And he's like, "No, that's someone else." And I'm like, "No, that's you." Because it looks so similar.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
I try to be a little different.
Because if you have a fursona that's literally just an animal with no like custom markings or anything, which is fine.
Yeah,
a lot of people do that. But you can get people mixed up from it.
And then you have huskies. You got tons of, you got like Siberian huskies, regular huskies, husky wolves, husky combos. I mean, there is just like tons of those. And those are probably the most commonly picked ones first, just because they're easily customizable.
Yeah, and it's easy to put in your brain. And a lot of people just relate to dogs, which is, I think that's why canines are so popular. And there's nothing wrong with that, because they're just, you can relate to a dog so well. And like, you're around dogs. Dogs are a man best friend. Like, they're so fun. Why wouldn't you want to be a dog?
Heck, today at work, I was talking with a client and I turned around and one of our co-workers had stopped and picked up her dog and come back to work. Baby puppy. It was like a baby, like chocolate, kind of ashy color lab. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I just like hugged that thing and I'm like, oh my God, you make me so happy right now. Like, how could you not? Like, that's totally besides the point, but I'm just saying, like, people love dogs. You don't see people bringing cats to work. Those things are going to rip up the walls and they're going to destroy things.
God.
There's a fire engine speak.
Did you just hiss? Is that what that was?
I'm shushing the ambulances and the fire trucks outside.
Oh, it sounded like you were talking about cats and then you went,
no. I can see why. No, I'm trying to hush them. It's like, hey, I'm trying to record here. Tone it down.
Stop saving lives. Yeah, I'm recording.
Save lives later. Anyways. And then there's the more newer popular species I've noticed. I've considered sergals to be popping up just like, otters. I didn't even think about it. Otters are huge right now. Otters, sergals, Dutch angel dragons. Enough said about that one. I haven't seen very many bears. A lot of...
No, bears aren't very popular. Even though we're both bears.
We're both bears. Yeah, bears aren't the most popular. I don't get why. They're so cute and cuddly. And you can do so many things with it. They look adorable. But I've noticed sergals are huge. Everyone seems to be like, if they're not a husky at this point, you're a sergal. I don't really get the point. I don't get where a sergal even... I know it's Japanese or Asian. That's for sure. Your origin on that. They just look weird. Like a shark mated with the front of a speedboat. That is what a sergal looks like. I can't really. And then their feet look weird. I just see their feet and I'm like, no. Like, I'm not.
Sergals are an open species that a furry made.
Oh, well. There you go.
They're not like from any Asian culture. They're not like dragons or anything. I forget the name of the person who made them. Oops. But they are a real thing.
Who made the sergal? I'm asking Google now.
They're like I think they're an alien species actually.
So a sergal is a race of shark-like headed people from the world of a word I can't pronounce. They are living in the planet Tau for now, although they're distant ancestors.
Yeah, see, they're alien.
Okay, from the planet Eltis.
And there's two types, I think, northern and southern or something like that.
Those are kind of interesting. And then you get the we can't skip over those unique characters where you have airplane meets furry.
Oh yeah, airplane furries.
I don't like. Some of them pull it off really well. Like fighter jets, those ones look rad. Mostly because they're incorporating some sort of dragon into it or some sort of reptile, and that would work really, really, really well. But then when you have things like a husky plane, I've seen it. It's just not pretty. But I'm not gonna judge. It's not my thing.
I've seen some that are hecka cute.
Some of them, but not all of them. Like,
I used to follow this artist that had like a train species. God, I should probably find them. But they had like wheel fingers or something, and they were like giant snake worm looking things. I don't know. They were pretty cool though.
The
they always did traditional art on like tone colored paper.
You know, I guess I could say at one point my fursona might have been a protogen. Now, because I'm looking at protogens right now. Protogen's another one. Those ones are cool. Those are like those are like fursonas ahead of our time. And there's actually whenever we talk about fursuits and we do like the visual adaptations and stuff, there is a really good fursuit maker who custom designs LED helmets in a protogen face. And it is just...
That is the space, honey. That's the creator of protogens.
Oh. Well, I'm practicing.
Yeah, he makes the masks.
Well,
too.
Whatever. They're super awesome, and I wish I was one of them. they're super cool. Like a protogen, man. It's like Tron. That's like full on Tron, and I'm all about Tron. So you kind of have those, like the more popular species. Most people will jump on the bandwagon for that. Typically with sergals, I've only seen sergals that are really tall people. I have a friend who's a sergal, and he's really small, and I think it's kind of weird, but whatever. It's all good. It's just the profile type of sergals usually are taller people, as I've seen.
Yeah, and I've noticed that. There's that
dancing sergal. I don't know what his name is, but he's like super popular. All right, and then you take away with the next area.
The next area, okay. So multiple fursonas, which is something we talked about earlier with having like your interests. Usually, if your fursona is a personification of different aspects of you, then a lot of people have separate fursonas for that. So they'll have like three or four to represent three or four versions of themselves. But some people just have multiple fursonas because they feel like they can't make a cohesive character with all of them in it, I guess. I don't know. What do you think about multiple fursonas?
Because
I know it is kind of controversial in a
okay,
way.
Okay, so one okay adaptation of multiple fursonas would be the Crayola fursuiters. That would be the only, like, the only, like, well, because they're different colors, but they're all this, they're all like different fursonas, but they're just different colors. I've seen people split out their fursonas depending on their personality. Is that where we're going at? So you have like someone who's sad, you have someone who's happy, you have someone who's angry, and that's fine. I just kind of think it's almost like split personality. No, because that's actually what I want to do. So I guess that would work. I've seen people do it, but it gets confusing because then it's like, which fursona are you today? Kind of like, which pronoun am I supposed to call you this morning? Kind of a thing. It gets a little confusing. As long as you don't have a ton of them, I think it's fine. It's just when they get past like three multiple like fursonas and you're just like having all of these different ones, it's like, how do you represent yourself through multiple people? Like, it's just, that does not make sense. Because it's impossible for one to do that.
I feel I'm kind of in a similar opinion. I think it's great to have multiple personas. If that works for you, then that's awesome. But as soon as you have like five plus, it starts to get kind of confusing to me. Like it starts to be like, are you actually representing yourself, or are you just so attached to your OCs that you want to call them a persona? Because there's no shame in having original characters, but some people seem to feel like each original character they have has to be a fursona, when that's not necessarily the case. So I think it's fine. Do what you want. But to me, it starts to get... Like, the meaning of a fursona starts to get diluted when you start to have more than, like, five of them, for example. Because a fursona seems like a really special thing to me. And if you have a horde of them, then it seems like the specialness starts to go away.
I know Deer Dog has a couple of fursonas, but hers kind of works. Because like one's like more professional, one's kind of goofy, one's kind of just a little bit of both. And that works.
Oh, yeah. See, that's personifying different aspects of you in different characters.
But it's just usually like, I'm going to be a cat today, and then tomorrow it's going to be a dog, and I have all these different... I just can't. At most, I think I've ever had, and adoptables don't count. One. four.
Because you got to remember, OCs and personas are different. You can have like 100 OCs, and that's totally cool. But when you have 100 personas, it's like, are they really? I've gone like a total of four.
So, like, what I first started off was what I hybrided it into, so that it became two things, and then what it is now. So, I guess, like, in total, I've gone through four personas, but it was more or less an evolutionary process, not just randomly selected.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Your persona can change. And sometimes, if your persona changes enough, your old version of it can become an OC. I've seen that before. But multiple personas is a great way to focus different aspects of yourself into different characters. But I don't know, just if you have so many of them, it just makes it feel less special.
And I get that. So, okay. So with all of this being said, how can personas help you in the fandom specifically? Some people use it as a way, like we've said before, as a representation of themselves in the fandom. My character is very much a representation of myself in the fandom. I'll explain how that works last or in the end. But
like everybody in the furry fandom seems to have a persona, but they can help people in multiple ways. In the fandom and outside of it. Like, for example, you can have a persona that helps you visualize your own personal goals, like goals that you want to reach. For example, if you're a shy person but your persona is confident, maybe that's your way of remembering, oh, I have a goal of being more confident, and it keeps reminding you to keep working on that. And with other... what are some other goals? I don't know. What do you think? How does a persona help some people?
So you think about it this way, like specifically those who have disabilities, a persona for someone like that can be the difference between life or death. For them, it's more or less like, let's say you're wheelchair bound. Maybe you, and your persona doesn't want to be, but maybe you create your persona to be this thing that you want it to be. And it's everything you aspire. And that's who you are. And that keeps you going. Some people do... I'm trying to think here. I guess, okay, for instance, my persona helps me kind of maintain a balance in myself, both online and offline. I do that on purpose because I want myself to be as much as represented online as you would if you met me in person. I wanted to be that real. So for me, my persona, my personal goals are very much my actual goals in life. And so I feel like they kind of interact and work out. Some people, I don't know if, you know, it'd be really interesting for those who are like, you know, overweight or super skinny. I wonder if people create personas to be something that they're not, they wish they were, but how many of those actually achieve their goal? Like, do you think those who are bigger, who have skinnier personas, actually end up being skinnier? Or do you think they're ashamed by their own persona and they kind of keep it that way? Like, they personify something they want to be.
I don't know. I guess that's an individual basis, because I know when we talk about our own personas, I'm going to be linking, like, weight to
like,
it
okay,
as well.
So personas can help with, I guess, seeing a side of you that you maybe didn't see, but I can almost see something as well, and I just came upon it. I don't want it to be a negative thing, but kind of point it out there. Sometimes a persona can be something that you don't want, like you wish you weren't. So... I am overweight. My character used to be skinny, but it's not anymore. He's kind of just pudgy, which is perfect. It's who he is. But I'll be honest, there are some times where I want to create space where he's more fit. I don't do it though, because then I would be going against everything that I am, being as much as I am online and in person. If I create something that's not me, what's the point? That's my thinking of how I do it. It's different for others, but I kind of wonder if some people create these personas of themselves that they wish they were, but they're not. And I'm sure they do.
Yeah, I've seen people do that. Yeah, I've seen people do that. And even if it's something they want to be, but it's something they're not, then that's how, when it comes to like what saying it's visualizing your personal goals. Let's say, yeah, for example, if you're shy, but your fursona is outgoing, maybe over time throughout the furry fandom, as you're drawing this character, getting art of this character, it's kind of encouraging you to work on being outgoing as well, which I've seen work. That's worked with me. That's something that I've done personally. So it can either, it can work with you on trying to improve the things that you want to, or it can work with you to help you feel okay about the things of yourself that are true that you might not like.
I might actually, for the new year, just because everyone likes to do like weight loss plans for the new year, I might actually create a guideline of where I am now with my weight and have a reflection of that as my fursona. And in time, as I lose weight, so will my fursona. It'll kind of like, it'd be like, yeah, a, like a,
that'd be
it's
cool.
Like someone checking in on me, but even though it's just me, it'd be kind of cool to see that. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to do it.
That would be cool.
I'll pay you to do it. You're going to do the art for it.
I'll do it. But on, let's go on the opposite side of that, how a fursona can help. If on one hand it helps you visualize your personal goals that you're working for, like physically, it can also help accept, it can help a person accept and embrace their insecurities. So on the other hand of that, let's say you are overweight. Well, maybe you'll make your fursona overweight as well, but you still love that fursona. You might still like think your fursona is attractive regardless of their weight. And maybe it'll help you feel more confident about yourself in real life because your fursona is also like appealing regardless of whatever insecurities you've projected onto them. I know one good example of this, I've talked to Face Rot and I don't know if you know who that artist is. Do you? No, you don't. Their art and their fursuits is like, they look kind of mangy, but on purpose. All the characters that he has, like his fursona to molt, has pimples and like a lot of like facial, what's it called? I won't call it disformities because a lot of people have it, but just like pimples and zits and stuff like that, scars. And I remember talking to him in the Headless Lounge at FWA, and he and my fiance were talking, and they were talking about how his fursona has pimples and stuff, and now he loves like pimples and scars, and he thinks they're fascinating, whereas in the past they were insecurities. So it's like the flip side. You might have something you feel insecure about on yourself, but then over time, if you keep putting it on your fursona and drawing it on your characters, you might
learn to
love it.
I can identify with that. Like, I don't ever want to be skinny.
Yeah.
I like being plump. There's just something about it. Like, I've had man boobs. Mostly, they look like women's boobs, pretty much. They're different from man boobs. They're just, they're like an in between. But I've loved to play with them so much, and I've learned to do it, that it's become a part of me. If I don't play with my boobs at some point in a conversation, there's something wrong. But I've embraced it. And so I don't think, like, I want to become like more fit, but I still want my chub. Because that's me. That's who I am as a person. If I was skinny, good Lord,
oh, yeah,
what's going to happen? World might explode.
And it can help like that kind of aspect if it's helping you embrace your insecurities. And that also is a way that can help people cope with stress, because insecurities definitely cause stress for
now,
sure.
Now, the cool thing about fursonas in general is those who don't necessarily identify with either male or female, but kind of a little bit of gender fluidity. There you go. That's the word. There are fursonas out there that don't have any sort of way for you to determine if they're female or male. That might work really well. Yeah, exactly. Species specific, and we talked about it earlier, are Dutch Angel Dragons. They are neither. Yeah, they're basically.
Yeah,
they can
null.
Be whatever you want them to be, but for the most part, they are just that. They're just there. And so,
like, they can have gender, but they don't have sex. So they can go by male, female, they, them, whatever pronouns, because gender is like in between your ears, whereas sex is in between your legs. So they don't have any genitals. They're null.
And it's interesting.
But they can still
have gender.
It's kind
of like, and that might be a perfect kind of like a route for someone who doesn't really fall in one or the other, but they're both. So that's something that's perfectly good for them.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And another thing is with personas, they can really help transgendered people with dysphoria. It can help people cope with their dysphoria. So let's say, like, you're a trans man and your persona is, it kind of personifies like your goals or who you feel like you are, or it is who you are, just, and it can help you fight with that kind of dysphoria. Because I know I have a handful of transgendered friends, and I know personas have helped them a lot over the years figure out who they are and just how they identify.
And that's like where that. It can be life-saving for some, because it's that one aspect
definitely
that they can feel confident in that no one else can judge them for. It's kind of like, it's like a neat little scapegoat of like its own little universe. It's neat. And the last thing that like personas can really help with is to contribute to a creative outlet, whether that's for art or maybe that's to help cope with stress, anxiety, depression, all of those different things. Personas can really do a lot of great things. They can make you into something you probably never thought you were ever. I, like, for instance, never assumed that I would ever be in some sort of broadcasting whatsoever. Obviously that changed. I am now in broadcasting, but like when I first created my persona, it's not how I appeared it to be. Now it's kind of who I am, and my persona kind of embraces it. And so does our mascot too. Our mascot's so cute. Blue is adorable.
Blue is cute.
Yeah. It really is. Like, it's, we have a mascot. That's kind of something we've created over the past few years. Like, Fur Media's mascot is Broadcast, which is a Touch Angel dragon that was made by Telephone. So, and that was cool. That's something that represents our podcast or our show that we did before. Our podcast now has Blue. Blue, you created Blue. Why don't you tell them what Blue is?
Blue is just a Labrador retriever, and his name and his design is inspired by a brand of microphone, yeah, which is just Blue. That's just it. And I was like, well, the logo is this dog chewing on a microphone. I'm like, it has to be Blue.
Of that particular, is it a persona? Would that be considered a persona of our podcast? Something that represents us? You could call it a mascot, like call it a persona, that, sure. But one thing that I thought was really neat, I didn't ask Bean to do this. She just did it. She actually incorporated colors of Fur Media into straight from the muzzle. So there are aspects of what we created that are now available in what we do now. And I think that's important because it shows a little bit of our culture and we're not afraid to mix it into something new. And I think I like that. It's a piece that's kind of like, it's paying respect to something we created and it's now going to kind of be with us, but it's not a major part. It's now just like a part of our history, which is really cool. I like that. I thought that was really like a nice touch. Thank you, by the way. Good.
I'm glad you liked that.
What about
our own? Oh man. So what about our own personas? I think that'll be interesting to connect everything we just talked about. Like what type of persona is yours? How does it help you? Things like that.
So when I first started in the fandom, yeah, sure, I created a cybernetic husky wolf. His name was Space Dog Spiff. I drew inspiration from one of my favorite comics, Calvin and Hobbes. And one of the things that Calvin was is he would be like the space cadet and his name was Spaceman Spiff. And so in my family, I was always called Spiff. So I kind of took my favorite comic and I took a kind of a nickname that my family gave me and I threw it onto the most common thing I could find, which at the time was Husky Wolves. And I created a cybernetic Husky Wolf. He was kind of like this base kind of frontier guy, had all the cutting edge technology, kind of was his own freelancer. He had like a symbol, he had like an on symbol in the back, but it wasn't too prominent. And that was who I was. Something I kind of took that was a part of me, but something that I kind of wanted to be because I was starting to kind of appreciate sci-fi, and I really was kind of getting into it at that time. But over time, space started to evolve. I felt that the space dog could become something better. So I started incorporating one of my other favorite animals, which is now my favorite animal, which was a bear, a polar bear. So space became a hybrid of a polar bear meets a husky wolf. The tail at the end kind of curved up a little bit. It's just like a little flab of a tail. And parts of the husky, you could see parts of the husky was in the lower region. So like the legs and the feet. And then parts of the bear were more prominent in the upper region. So like the arms and the chest and that nature. The head was a little bit, it was a little bit of both. And it was a weird...
Of both.
Yeah.
He had more of like a husky nose.
It was a really interesting hybrid. That was where I kind of was in the fur media phase. And over time, I think it was within the last year or two is when I decided that I want to just be a polar bear, but I want to be my own bear. So polar bears are typically white, but that's actually not their main color of skin. You know that, right? They're actually... Their skin is black, but they just, it's just mm-hmm. the way
yeah,
that
their
the
skin
refracts
black.
Off of it. So my character, my persona, Space Bear Sparks, is what I eventually turned him into, became more of a black kind of a bear. He's still a polar bear, so he still wears like sweater vests and all these fun little things that I like incorporate. It's, I mean, sweater vests don't really incorporate to Antarctica, but it keeps him warm. It's the sweater vest is something that I've always yeah it's okay
it's a smile and a nod.
I've always worn a sweater vest. I wear them when I go to conventions. It's an Argyle print, and it's just something that represents me, and I try to represent that as much as possible. Now he's this, you know, cute little cuddly bear. Depends on how I draw or how I have him done, he can either be like super cute and cuddly, he can be really fierce. I've seen feral versions of my character drawn. I really liked it. And that's who I am today. It went from something that was experimental that became a hybrid because I wanted to change myself a little bit. And now it's something that represents me, who I am. So my weight and my persona is very much the same. They're both chubby, and there are no indistinct markings on them anymore. There are no like on symbols or USB symbols, because I don't want to be labeled as something like that. I just want to be, I want to be me. He wears like these little glasses, and there's always going to be a mischievousness of Space himself, but there's different aspects of him. He's cute. He's handsome. He's, you know, witty. He's understanding. He listens. He's there for you. He's everything that I am now, and maybe just a little bit more. And that's how I want him to be. And that's my rule. My rule is exactly as I've said, my persona has to represent me. Because if I ever meet people in person, I want them to be able to know, oh, that's Space. Not just because of his voice, but because he totally represents himself online as he does in person. It makes it a little bit easier too. So it's not like, oh, you're that super bright thing and you are some lanky, you know, skinny astrophysicist. Totally didn't see that one coming. You know, I want you to be able to be like, okay, God. That is Space. I can tell that Space. I know that Space. That's how I represent myself in the fandom. I am who I am online and in person 100%. And that's how he is today. And I think I'll keep him like that. I probably won't change him at all. He'll probably just stay the way he is. Because I like that. Thanks. He's cute and cuddly.
I like your persona.
Felix even knitted a persona of me. So him and I, yeah, we have these little like crocheted animals. So
really,
whenever I go travel, I take his crocheted animal with me. So I always have Felix with me, regardless of where I'm at. Because, you know, when I travel alone, it's lonely. So I always try to take something like that with me.
Oh, I do the same thing with a stuffed animal that my fiance gave me.
Pung and I shoved a giant dildo dick on the wall and made Space write it. I've got pictures of that if you ever want to see it. I will.
Oh, please send that to me.
It's so great. We were drunk.
That's okay. At FWA last year, all of us ended up buying something from the adult room. God. And we were like throwing them at the window to see if we could get them all to stick like darts. And it worked. Except like, for mine, it was too big. It just kind of went thunk and fell.
Like, rope on the end of it, so it becomes like a grappling hook.
Oh my gosh. A grappling cock.
I'm messaging Felix that right now. That's not your persona. Good. Your persona is actually quite unique. You have
My gosh. I have two, but I'll talk about Rory first since I've had her for way longer. So I've had Rory ever since I joined the fandom, which is when I was in late middle school. So I've been in it for a good 8 years now, 9 years, something like that. And she started off as an edgy wolf character, of course, because I was young and edgy. She was a neon green, gray, and navy blue wolf. She originally had wings, and she always had to wear a neon green and black striped scarf. And then as I went into high school, I changed her into being less vibrant, I guess. Like, instead of super dark gray fur, like it was almost black, I made it extremely light gray, and I lightened up the green and the blue on her a bit, and I changed her from being just a wolf into being a wolf dragon. Because I was like, well, wolves are kind of just cliche, and I want to be more unique. Little did I know, wolf dragons are also not that unique. But again, really? I was really young, and I was just like, I was grabbing for whatever I thought was popular and not what was me, you know? So once I hit college is when I actually changed my persona. So it took a good 5 years of having a persona that didn't really look or feel like me until I left high school and stopped worrying about what other people thought of me online and in person. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to change my persona to actually feel like me. And when I did that, I turned her into a parrot dog hybrid. So she is a Samoyed dog. Cute. So it's those really big, fluffy white dogs, you know? And she's mixed with a Caique parrot, which is an orange, green, and white parrot with a really short, feathery tail. And those parrots are so funny. So that was her final design. I tweaked some colors over the last year, but her design didn't change much at all. The only thing I changed was her nose color. It's not black anymore. It's like a maroonish purple, I guess. So that's Rory. And with her specifically, when I first made her in her edgy stage, she was like a normal like body shape, like a standard thin female character. And I'm not a very thin person. I was thinner when I was younger, but I've definitely put on weight as I got older. And that's due to just one, getting older, and two, I have type 1 diabetes and polycystic ovaries, which makes it very difficult to lose weight. And so my character was thin because I was starting to feel insecure, and I wanted her to be, like in my mind, what is supposed to be pretty. But as I went into college, I was like, well, I think I'm going to actually make her my weight. And then over the years of her design changes, I made her, like, bigger than me. So she's probably, say, double my size. Because I'm chubby, but she's a lot chubbier.
Oh, my God.
I'm more than 200 pounds.
No, this is something else.
Yeah. You've never seen a full body picture of me. Oh. But what happened was in late high school, when I was a senior, and during my first semester of college, I actually had an eating disorder. And being at home was really hard for me. My father was like really religiously and emotionally, I guess, he was abusive. And so I had an eating disorder for a while because my you know, being called like fat and telling you like you shouldn't be eating, you should be fasting, stuff like that. Eventually I developed just an eating disorder for about a year where I wouldn't eat for a while, days at a time, because I felt like that would help me lose weight. And it didn't. Even if you starve yourself, if you have the two diseases that I have, your body just doesn't want to shed weight. But as I went to college and I was away from home a bit more and I met more people that had more interests like in me than or similar interests as me, then I started making my persona thicker than me, and I still considered her really pretty and really attractive. And in turn, over the years, it made me a lot more confident and a lot more body positive. So a couple of years ago when I would starve myself, I don't do that anymore. I actually don't care about my weight. I can wear whatever I want and think I look fine. So it really helped me improve in that aspect.
Don't care about my weight as much anymore. I used to, and I weighed myself. I actually weighed myself this morning, and I saw the scale and I'm like, it's Christmas. Don't worry about it. You'll work on it later. But in reality, I don't think I want to. I think I want to just stay where I'm at. It's perfect. Who are they to say that I am overweight? I'm a tall guy. Have you seen me? I could take you down. By the way, you should just check your Telegram, because you're just going to be like...
Oh, no. Are you sending me these pictures? What is this?
The first one's a penis launcher. God. The second one is actually called a sexual assault rifle. It's just, because it's funny because it's an assault rifle.
Oh, wow.
But I
okay.
get, like, I don't like the, I mean, the name of it is awful, but the fact that it's like, it has like a knife that's a dildo. Yeah, it's a play on words, and it launches dildos at you. Could you be any more happier if I was shot? If I was in a crowd and that was their anti-crowd gun, and I just got shot in the head by a giant jelly dildo, I'd be like, "What? Sweet,
sweet free toy." Like that crap costs like $80.
Anyways, so much for a family friendly show. Whatever. That's not who we are now.
That's who we were, not who we are. But that was Rory. And still today, she's still the same weight. She's like heavier than I am, but she's extremely confident. Like I don't think I've ever drawn her in a negative scenario, because she's just so happy. She's so happy-go-lucky. She's so confident and so loving. She is everything that I aspire to be. And she is also all of my insecurities that have been personified to the point where I don't even find them as insecurities anymore. I find them as strengths, which was a really great way how my persona helped me, I guess, grow as a person and to improve my mental health. But now I have two personas. I made a new one just this year. I still use Rory as a persona, but since she is all my insecurities personified and just all the things I want to be and all my positive traits personified, I really wanted a persona that was just me, like nothing personified at all, like body type the same as me, things like that. And I wanted her to be an animal that acted more like me in real life. Rory is a Samoyed and a parrot, which are two very hyper animals. I'm a pretty chill person in reality. I pretty much leave a dent in my bed and do homework and draw. Like, so my second persona that represents just me without any changes is a bear. I chose a Pizzly bear because I think they're really cute, and that's literally the only reason. And bears are one of my favorite animals, so I was like, well, this fits. Also, my fiance calls me Mama Bear all the time, so I'm like, oh, this is perfect.
Do you know how Pizzlies happened?
Global warming fucked up the snow, and now grizzly bears and polar bears are a little too close for comfort.
Yeah, so if anyone didn't know, like, it was an accidental species they've just recently discovered in the past few years. But what happened was global warming has been pushing polar bears further and further inland, so they actually were coming down into Northern America, so like Canada, and no one noticed that both the polar bear and grizzly bears mated, and they actually created their own species. Now, granted, they're not the most, I don't think they're, depends on which grizzly bear you get as far as picture goes. Some of them can look mean, but they're so cute though. Like the fact that they've been, they mated together and no one knew that. I didn't even know you could do that. So, I mean, I guess, yeah, I guess they're in the same family, so it works, but that's so cool.
They're so cute. I don't know if like they generations can like, to come. I don't know if they're, if they're sterile or not, like, cause you know how mules, they can't mate more mules. So I'm not sure if it's the same with grizzly bears or not, but I just think they're neat. And I was like, I have to be a bear. This has to be a thing. They're one of my favorite animals, and it just feels like me. And so I made Bean, and her name actually comes from a pet name. My fiance calls me Beans sometimes, like, or I'll call her Pumpkin. I don't know why.
Pumpkin.
We just have really strange pet names. But she'll be like, hey, Beans. And I'm like, hey. So I'm like, okay, my fursona's name has to be Bean. It just sounds appropriate.
It's cute and it works.
And even with, since she represents me just as I am with no changes, she has a marking on her back that's not even, I guess it's not even considered a marking, but I have a tattoo on my back that is a sprig wreath with two parrot footprints in it. And I actually put that tattoo on my fursona. So whenever I get more tattoos, which I plan on having a lot of them, I will be putting them on my fursona as well, which I think will be really fun over the years. Whenever I get new tattoos, I'll just have to update her reference and it'll be really cool.
I'll still always call you like Moths or Rory, Bean. I'll probably go, like, I usually go between the three of them when I'm talking to Felix. He knows who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But...
yeah, I've gone through three different names in our time knowing each other. I am so sorry.
I might still just call you Rory, though, because that's such a cool name. And Bean, Bean...
I named Rory after a character in the Gilmore Girls.
Wow.
Yeah, I love that show. I love it a lot.
I've never seen it.
Oh,
not
man.
My type, I guess.
No, it doesn't seem like a show you would
like.
We
did have two people email into us. So if you guys ever want to email us about anything or show-related topics, please do so. You can do it by going to or emailing talktothemuzzle@gmail.com. One of the best things you came up on the whip. It was amazing. The first one that came in was from Oops. And Oops is on our team. She's one of our graphic artists. She's also got a spunky personality. She says, hey y'all, here's my fursona, Oops. Oops has been in my fursona since 2012. In 2012, I was around 12 years old as well. So it's been interesting seeing how Oops has grown as a character of mine. However, truly Oops hasn't changed much since the first time I created her aside from her name change. The design has barely changed, but I'll put links into their fur affinities so you guys can get, like, you can click on them and see them. But her character is so adorable. And if I were to put 3D glasses on, I'm pretty sure the character would pop out just because of the way the colors are laid over each other. Super.
Oh, yeah. They do have, like, the 3D outline. Cool.
That would be kind of cool to see, like, 3D fursonas. Like, actual, like, old school 3D. Huh. So, like, red and blue. That would be rad.
Yeah.
Another
one.
Is this
cool.
A friend of yours that emailed in?
No,
Muse,
I think it's just a fan.
Void. So I'll write them. You can't see the art, but we will find a link to their art so you can see it. And let me go back into, I'm like literally clicking on this as we speak. Mochi is my personal fursona. And is the closest to how I dress and act. Dongo or Dango is my boyfriend, Sona, and he is a sweetie. What's really, I kind of really like about these characters and these personas is the way that they're drawn. They're very different. They're kind of like chubby, but at the same time, they're tall. And if the person is exactly how they're representative, oh my God, I want to meet them in person because their art is just awesome. Their Mochi character is a Chow Chow, one of my favorite dogs on the planet, man. Chow Chows are the best because they got purple tongues. But they're also super territorial.
Super cute.
So unless you graze them like in the community, they will bite people. So, but they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
I love their art. It's just, I love that. They're the kind of people that do artwork on notepads, like notepaper. I love that kind of stuff. I see that. I just fall in love with it instantly.
And that was our show, everybody. We really appreciate you tuning in to listening to us. I know this is what, our like fourth episode now? Is it our fourth?
I think it's our fourth.
Yeah, I think it's our fourth. So we're getting this ball rolling, and it's been really fun. And we hope that you continue to listen to us and support us in the future. If you want, you can go over to our social media links and give us a follow. We really like interacting with everybody and trying to get other people on the show, whether it's like through reading your emails or actually, you know, getting you on the show talking to us while recording, which would be super duper fun. So if you want to follow us on Facebook, we have a Facebook, we have a Twitter, and we also upload all of our podcast episodes onto Buzzsprout, YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, all that kind of stuff.
Alexa. So,
yeah, and Amazon Alexa.
We have Alexa. That's exciting. I saw that and I'm like, here's the interesting thing though, before we cut out. Alexa literally draws their information from iTunes. So essentially it's just iTunes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. You can pretty much find us everywhere now, which is cool.
Yeah. So if you want to support us further, go ahead and give us a like and a follow and all those other pages, and we'll go talk to you there.
Other than that, folks, we'll see you guys next time.
See you next time.
Or not.